Welcome to American Dream. I'm your host, Tina Richards. Here come the thought police. At least that's the title of an editorial in the Baltimore Sun a couple of weeks ago. Congress just passed what they titled the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorist Prevention Act. Exactly what is a radical thought, or is this about preventing us from another terrorist attack? To discuss about this idea, we have with us today from the Defending Dissent Foundation, Sue Udry.
Hey, Tina.
And David Swanson with AfterDowningStreet.org.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
So I'd like to start, you've analyzed this bill, and what is this bill about?
Well, the main sponsor of the bill in the House is Representative Jane Harman from California, and her justification for this bill is that we are facing a threat of homegrown terrorism in this country. So she felt the need to create a bill that would study this problem, this perceived problem that she has. She claims she wanted to be cognizant of people's civil liberties and not trample on people's right to dissent or their right to think what they want to think. But I think that she's created a bill that opens a Pandora's box of potential great.
Well, now the ACLU and a number of other organizations, the Center for Constitutional Rights, has come out and are very worried about this bill. Now the Defending Dissent Foundation, is that also one of the groups that is a little concerned?
Right, we're concerned about it. There's certainly a lot of pieces of legislation and threats to our liberties that that the Defending Dissent Foundation is concerned about.
And you, on both the right or the left, you defend any type of
dissent. The Defending Dissent Foundation believes in a non-denominational First Amendment that people are free to think and feel and believe and organize for. Wherever on the political spectrum they are.
And David, would you like to give a little bit of a brief overview of what you think that this bill or act is about?
Well, one of the names it goes by is H.R. 1955, so people can look up the text and read it. And if I'm not mistaken, it's passed the House, but not yet the Senate, although it's predicted to pass the Senate. And it sets up a 10 or 12 member commission to supposedly study what drives people to domestic terrorism.
Now, when you say that it passed the House, it passed 404-6, so it overwhelmingly passed the House.
Overwhelmingly and very swiftly put through without debate in a process that's reserved for supposedly non-controversial bills, although this bill is extremely controversial among those who've heard about it.
Now, there's some comparison between this and the Patriot Act. Is there any justification for that?
Well, they're similar in a number of ways, including the speed with which it was rammed through the House. Many members did not read the Patriot Act. It was pushed through very quickly. It was a very lengthy bill. This bill, in contrast, is quite short to read. But the Patriot Act stripped us of rights in the name of defending our safety. And this bill follows a similar course.
Well, at the end, it does say that it wants to make sure that it ensures that it protects all constitutional rights.
Yet it doesn't, right? This is, I mean, the first thing you ask yourself about this bill is, what domestic terrorism? Is there suddenly an epidemic of domestic terrorism I didn't know about? And of course not. I mean, what they talk about is things like radical defenders of animal rights who might break into a lab that treats animals, or defenders of the environment, et cetera. But it's such a vaguely worded bill, right? It talks about force or violence, so that force is clearly something other than violence, so that refusing to stand inside a designated free speech zone might be an act of terrorism, right?
Explain that just a little bit more. So when you say by force.
In this bill, this is a bill driven by 9/11 and this war on terror madness that we've been in for the past 6 years. This has nothing to do with an epidemic of domestic terrorism. And yet it doesn't address crimes like 9/11. It doesn't even address domestic terrorism crimes. It doesn't prevent or protect or help prosecute such crimes. It creates new categories of abuses that look a lot like thought, right? So promoting a system of beliefs that in somebody's mind might facilitate the use of violence or force This is the wording of the bill. So force is something other than violence that is prohibited here. Then you could be hauled before a McCarthy hearing, right? This commission is set up that can go out and hold hearings. In fact, one member of the commission could be empowered by the commission to go out and hold hearings.
Now how is this commission exactly set up, structured by the bill?
It's in the House version, I think it's 10 members, and they are largely appointed by Congress, one appointed by the president. It would probably have a majority of members from the party of the current president, and so currently it would be Republican dominated. But you know, this is a bipartisan bill. It's not clear there's any difference between the parties here, but this would be a commission of 10 or 12 members qualified supposedly by their expertise in a number of fields, including sociology and counterterrorism and Islam, among other things, right? And the bill goes on to say we cannot target people solely on the basis of religion or race or ethnicity, which clearly is implying that you can target people partially on those bases.
And you bring up Islam, and we did interview Stephen Grand from the Brookings Institute, and he had to speak about this with the act.
I think that this legislation, what you're seeing is really an American election year starting. This is a bill that many members of Congress can get behind and say we're trying to do something about terrorism, we're trying to address the threat to the American homeland. But if you look at the bill itself, this is really something without legislative teeth. It's a proposal to set up a commission that would look at the study of violent radicalization and homegrown terrorism in the United States, which really is a non-issue, and also a center on the same at a university, a center of excellence at a university that would look at homegrown terrorism in the United States. My fear is that this kind of legislation sends absolutely the opposite signal to what we want to be sending, which is America has had a very successful record in integrating and mainstreaming its Muslim American community. Muslim Americans are far more wealthy, far better educated than the American population as a whole. And that's a record that we as Americans should be proud of. The phenomenon of homegrown terrorism is not a big issue in this country. So to set up a commission to look at issues that really are not central to the war on terrorism, I fear sends the wrong message to an important constituency in America, the Muslim American community. It sends a message that we don't trust you. There are certainly things that the American government could do and could learn from other countries in doing in terms of engaging with the American Muslim community, in terms of preventing radicalization and alienation of youth. But setting up a big blue ribbon commission to look at this issue, I think makes for a lot of political hay, makes congressmen feel good. But I don't really think this gets at the issues that we face today.
And I do want to mention that we did contact Jane Harman's office and asked for someone to appear, also the RAND Corporation, which from my understanding has helped to author and has worked with Harman's office on this bill, and both declined. A number of organizations trying to get a perspective of how does this bill protect us, and is there a protection in this bill for us? I mean, isn't this what Congress is trying to do?
That's what they say they're trying to do, and the fact that it was fast-tracked through the House, at least, as a non-controversial bill is, when you read the bill, it's pretty shocking. He did say that this is a bill with no teeth, and it is true that if the members of this commission...
Really, it's just a commission just for people
right.
to talk,
and
to
if on
people
the commission,
in.
Were David Swanson and other noted civil libertarians who are going to actually look at the problem of youthful alienation and take it seriously, well, that's fine. But you know that any commission that has the president, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Senate Majority Leader and the Senate Minority Leader, and these members of Congress appointing these members of a commission, these are not going to be people who truly want to find out something about our society that's ailing.
Are you afraid that this is going to be used as a political tool then?
I think it's absolutely a tool for political hacks. There are a lot of people throughout the country in university settings and in think tanks that are studying the problems which are not large in this country of homegrown terrorism on the radical right, or in some cases they're studying the radical left. And these are independent academicians who are studying these trends and potential problems. And we don't need a government commission to study it, because there goes your academic independence and it turns into a political football.
Well, how do you defend? I mean, isn't this about defending America?
No, it's not. And I don't think it's even about studying the issues. I mean, remember after 9/11 when people said, hey, maybe we should look into what motivated these attacks? Did military bases in Saudi Arabia have anything to do with it, et cetera, et cetera? And this was denounced as treason. It was absolutely verboten to even mention a discussion, a research project of what could have motivated this, because this was to side with the terrorists.
There's actually a professor in Colorado that referred to Little Eichmann's and ended up getting fired eventually. And
Ward
and
Churchill,
much,
I believe
Ward
is
Churchill.
His name. This is not about that. This is not about studying this massive issue in a period of 6 months, which is nuts, or a series of three reports 6 months apart. That's a smokescreen. This is about preempting, going out and finding people who might commit crimes before they commit crimes. This is the same theme as detaining hundreds of people in Guantanamo and torturing them because they might do something in the future, which of course makes them more likely to do something in the future once they get out. This is preemptive punishment. This is taking people, dragging them publicly before a commission in McCarthyite manner, and ruining their reputation.
Explain a little bit, when you keep referring to McCarthyite manner, not everybody is familiar with that term. Can you explain just a little bit about the McCarthy era and what happened?
50 years ago, members of the United States Congress got on a kick led by Joe McCarthy of dragging people before hearings. And
they were called the House Un-American Affairs Committee.
Activities Committee, yeah. And the theme was communism. Now it's terrorism. But the idea was, have you ever been associated in any way with anyone who was a member of a communist organization, et cetera? It was guilt by association. It was guilt by freedom of speech and assembly, right? And that's what we're looking at here. Blatant violation of the First Amendment, ruining people's careers and reputations, and possibly worse. And then at the end, when this commission runs its course, making recommendations to the Congress on what rights should be stripped, on how content on the internet should be limited, et cetera. That's what this is about. It's not about learning anything.
Now, you also talked about the restrictions on the internet. What does this bill have as far as restrictions on the internet?
Well, it raises concerns about the internet and claims that and here's quoting from the bill, the internet has aided in facilitating violent radicalization, ideologically based violence, and the homegrown terrorism process in the United States. Homegrown terrorism process in the United States, by providing access to broad and constant streams of terrorist-related propaganda to United States citizens. So it cleverly uses the term propaganda, which again makes you think back to the McCarthy era. And this bill really does echo so closely the McCarthy era and the McCarthy hearings, which Senator McCarthy raised the problem of so many communists have infiltrated the State Department, and he was on a witch hunt to find them all. There were none. and here we just...
Well, even was it illegal to be a communist? This committee became almost where it was by association,
right,
illegal to be a communist, but yet the Constitution right. defends the right for you to have beliefs
Indeed.
Such as that.
Indeed.
So where is this, as far as where it now goes with, as Stephen Grand had indicated, Islam?
You know, there are two schools of thought out there of who's going to be hurt most by this bill, by these commissions. And there are a lot of people who are attuned to the concern that it's gonna target people of color. One of my board members has a blog on Daily Kos, and I quote him. He's Chip Berlay. I suspect that this new initiative would quickly devolve into providing justifications for more political repression against Muslims and Arabs and people of color, including Mexicans. We are a nation oozing with xenophobia and nativism, as pandering politicians make quite clear at the frequent drumbeats about borders and the rule of law.
Do you think that some of this has to deal with politics trying to play up the media and television, trying to get this type of rhetoric into,
absolutely,
as some people would call rhetoric, into it, when it comes to closer to the presidential debates? Because, I mean, right now I have seen absolutely nothing in any of the media other than editorials and a lot of blogs and editorials writing about it, but no actual media coverage. Is this something that they're waiting for the closer to the presidential election?
Well, it'll be interesting on what happens to this bill in the Senate, since there are more candidates for the presidency in the Senate. In the House, among the candidates for president, Dennis Kucinich voted against this bill and Ron Paul didn't vote. So it'll be interesting to see what the presidential candidates in the Senate do about this bill, and I think that'll generate a lot more media coverage. Right now, I think it's under the radar, and it has enormous potential for raising all sorts of feathers, but, yeah.
Do you think that there's a reason why this is going under the radar now, or is it just simply lack of interest?
It's not a story that the White House or anyone in power is pushing on the media, and the media...
Why?
Well, it's not something, I mean, the Republicans may be thinking in terms of presidential politics in pushing this, but that doesn't explain the Democrats, who almost all voted for it out of presumably fear of being attacked in the media and denounced as weak on terrorism. I think Congressman Kucinich will campaign hard as having voted against this and having voted against the Patriot Act and so on. That will be a different tack in the presidential campaign. But I think, you know, this whole idea coming from the general left side of things, the Democratic Party side of things, this whole idea that we should even be thinking about passing bipartisan bills that will be signed into law is absolute insanity, right? This president has made clear that from the point of view of civil liberties, green energy, providing people health care and education, ending illegal wars, any issue on the spectrum, he will veto any decent bill, and it will only sign into law the outrageous ones, like this one, like the Protect America Act, et cetera. You know, these names, I'm waiting for the Joy and Harmony Act, which will be line us all up against a wall and shoot us, right? But this whole idea of passing bills, from the point of view of the leadership in Congress, which is supposedly an opposition party, is absolutely insane, has been for a year, will be for the next year, because any good bill will be vetoed. This one won't.
Now, going back to the media, there is now a lot of Arab media channels out there. Do you think that this will affect them?
I certainly think so, and I certainly think that people who make an effort to learn foreign news and independent news and find things on the Internet will suffer, because content on the Internet is the most likely thing to be censored in the recommendations coming out of this project.
Well, wait, isn't America always criticizing China and other countries for censoring their Internet?
Some of us are, absolutely. I don't know that that AOL Time Warner is. I don't know that Viacom is. I don't know that Comcast is. I mean, this is an issue of freedom of speech and freedom of press versus this monopolistic control on the media. And in America, a very small number of corporations have now incredible monopolistic control in every medium except the Internet. And so this is a sore point for them. And you look at this bill, and it says we're going to study where the problems are, but then it pre-convicts the Internet, states as a matter of fact that the Internet is already guilty of facilitating these destructive belief patterns. So you would expect, coming out of the results, recommendations to go against Internet neutrality, to start censoring content for Americans.
I'd like to address the thought part of it. Recently, there has been arrests made where people just have the intent, but actually no intent beyond any actionable intent. What used to be in the law, say you would say you wanted to harm somebody. That used to not be illegal. But if you actually went out to hire somebody to do it, if you actually bought stuff to do it, then it became illegal. today, such as what happened down in Florida with the arrest of some kids that said, well, you know, the Sears Tower looks good. They had no way to actually carry out any type of terrorism, yet they were arrested for and actually look at to be convicted because they thought about it. Is that where part of this is headed to?
Well, that was a political stunt for Bush and gang to claim they had prevented a terrorist attack. But there was no imminent terrorist attack. There was no specific plan. There was no effort underway. And in fact, you look at the dozen or so cases where they claim they've prevented terrorist attacks in Los Angeles and Chicago and around the country, and not in a single case was there a serious plan for a terrorist attack. Rather, it was in the thought stages. And so once you step across that line, right, we need bills that don't just facilitate government action, but that restrict government action and protect our rights. And if you don't maintain a sharp line that you can go after people who are in the process of committing a crime, you cannot go after people who have thought about committing a crime.
Well, they're thought, but they intended to, is the stance. They intended.
Look, when George Bush was asked on television by Barbara Walters, what about all those claims that Saddam Hussein had all those weapons? He said, well, it doesn't matter. If he had got all those weapons, he probably would have thought about using them, right? I mean, this is how far it goes once you've lost that sharp line that says we don't go after people who have not committed any crimes. You go after anybody for anything because anybody might conceivably think. I mean, look at how this bill is worded.
And we will go more into the wording of the bill after this short break. We'll also get Sue's reaction. We will return right after this break. Welcome back to American Dream. I'm your host, Tina Richards. The radicalization, the Violent Radicalization Homegrown Terrorist Prevention Act is the subject tonight, and we have Sue Udry from the Defending Dissent Foundation.
Right.
And we have David Swanson with AfterDowningStreet.org. And just before we went to break, you were going to point out a portion in that, but I wanted to also point out when we were talking about some of these different groups that were just thinking about it, there was reports that came out that it was actually the FBI were the key components into trying to make this into doing some type of action. So I have to ask, are we having the FBI like create the crime so that then they could do the arrest? Is that where this is at?
Not that I know of. There certainly is eagerness in the FBI to catch crimes due to their failure to catch the September 11th,
Florida, New York, Los Angeles, these were some of the, that actually came in that it was the FBI informant that was the protagonist.
That was starting the conversation. That may be the case in some of these. In others, I don't think it is. But certainly, if you look at Colleen Rowley's complaints from the FBI in Minnesota about what they knew prior to September 11th, 2001 that was not acted on, or you look at the president's failure to read the CIA's presidential daily brief on what they knew was coming on September 11th, what we're missing is not adequate investigation. And we know that the Bush-Cheney administration does any investigations they want to do, legally or otherwise, right? That's not what this bill is about. This bill is about spreading fear. And this is what it says violent radicalization means, adopting or promoting an extremist belief system for the purpose.
Who decides it? Who's the extremist?
The commission decides what's extremist, what's radical, what's facilitating, again, violence or force. And who knows what force might be? Once again, force might be blocking a sidewalk.
This 10 or 12 member panel decides what could be radical, what could be viewed as extremist.
Certainly, and we certainly know that 40 years ago, the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement were considered radical.
Well, even today, many try to paint the anti-war movement as radicals.
Yes, but we have yet to set up a specific commission to publicly denounce us. That appears to be in the works.
And that's part of what this is. And I'd like to also ask you, Sue, part of these, the thought or going from thought to actionable intelligence or to actionable what the FBI has come down in Florida, New York, Los Angeles, right, where the FBI were actually the instigators towards leading towards those thoughts.
Right.
Where does that put us?
Well, it puts us back in 1960s when Hoover was the head of the FBI, investigating civil rights, investigating civil liberties groups, investigating the peace movement, and infiltrating those groups and instigating crimes in the names of those groups in order to set them up. And to go back to the idea of convicting somebody on their intent to commit crime, while someone's intending it, they still could stop before they commit the crime. I mean, they have not committed a crime yet, and they may well not
but
commit a crime.
But now with this, it could be that it is a crime once they think of it and they make
right.
that thought out loud?
Well, it's this...
Or associate with a group that may
right.
have made their thoughts
and
out
it's,
loud.
And it's up to this commission that will go around the country and hold hearings. And the thing is that absent really any acts of terrorism in this country, how does this commission decide who they're going to study? Which to me is another word for spy. The bill also talks about the need, once we've studied a group, if we're worried about what they may do, we've studied them, and it's based on their ideology, not their behavior, because it's before they've moved to acts of violence, and it's studying them, and it's looking at their theory, not their practice. But how are we going to choose what groups they're going to study, how they're going to spy on? And then the bill also talks about the need to disrupt these groups. So this commission can decide that the peace movement or people protesting the war in Iraq or people protesting cutting down trees in the Redwood Forest in California, the commission can decide that they have an intent to do some violence or use some force to change what the government plans to do. That's as vague. This bill is so vague. So a group's going to use some force to change what the government wants to do. Therefore, this commission needs to suggest to local and federal law enforcement agencies that they mitigate this problem or disrupt this problem.
And what I'd like to do is go to, we went and asked some people on the street what they felt about this bill. Most of them, if not all, actually had never even heard of this bill. We provided a copy so that they could familiarize themselves with it. We got their response.
All right. Not being really familiar with this act, if it is at all like the Patriot Act, I understand the premise is to protect Americans. But I think as Americans, what we need to do is to become more aware of the world and our place in the world. And once we understand our place in the world, then we'll understand other people and their place in the world and how we relate to them. I understand that we're supposed to be protecting ourselves. We also, as a world leader, have to protect the world in general, not just Americans.
Say, from the information that I understand about the Radicalization Act, that I certainly would be against it. I'm certainly against any kind of act that would prevent people from receiving information either over the internet or groups against that may have unpopular opinions not being able to express their views through the internet. That's the whole reason for having free access to information. And if it were to be paired similar to the Patriot Act, I'd find that that's really a little too encompassing for most citizens. So.
The Patriot Act version 2, I guess this is what it's like. Isn't going to help. Diplomacy is the only thing that would help the world right now.
I think that the act itself is an attempt on the part of Congress to react to what the press and the general public idea that things are going to happen more and more coming out of the U.S. I think that's ridiculous, and I think that's it reminds me of 1939 and 1940 Germany. I think this is, or 1938-39 Germany. I think this is a blaming Muslims, making it a religious issue, is a really dangerous, a very dangerous and awful thing. And I think that picking up on that with like this act is part of it. It's just grandstanding, and I'm completely against it.
So, is this the first steps towards fascism, or is it, as some groups have claimed, it's the last steps towards fascism in America?
Maybe the seventh or eighth step. It's certainly not the first, right? This is an administration that over the past 7 years has moved us quite far down the road toward fascism. You look at the analysis of Naomi Wolf and many, many others. I mean, the powers that have been seized.
Well, you said Naomi Wolf. What did Naomi?
Publisher of one of several books analyzing the comparisons between what we've seen in the United States over the past several years.
Letter to a Young American Patriot.
Exactly, exactly.
The 10 steps.
The end of America. And this is one of them. And we've seen many others. This seizing of powers to detain, to spy, the propaganda that we're seeing, and this spreading of fear, and this idea that dissent can no longer be defended. This is right. I mean, if we're going to set up a university center of excellence to study something, let's set up one, how to educate Americans about the rest of the world, as one of these people on the street suggested, but let's set up one on how to study how people move imperceptibly toward fascism, because that's what we're looking at. And there's not going to be a guy with a little mustache who pops up one day and announces martial law, we are now have fascism. It happens without seeing it. It's the only way it happens. It's the way it always happens, and we're moving in that direction. And that's the point of this bill, is to move us another step down that road.
Well, Stephen Grand, earlier we heard from, indicated that this was just political grandstanding. What you're saying is actually contradicting that it's actually something to be below the radar, to be moving imperceptibly.
It's not grandstanding for one party versus the other because it's so bipartisan, although arguably it benefits the Republicans, and the Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot as they always do. But it's moving the whole nation in a direction, and they don't know. Jane Harman doesn't think of herself as getting us another step down the road.
Was actually in reviewing it that it was in response to some vandalism at some synagogues.
What is new about vandalism in synagogues? We've had 230 years of American history in which we've had occasional vandalism in synagogues and elsewhere, and we've treated those crimes as crimes.
Well, also churches down in the southern states during the civil rights era. We have now mosques after what happened, 9/11.
This is the nation of the Ku Klux Klan. This is the nation that has had, like any nation, has had acts of hate and of vandalism and of terror. This is not new.
But what is wrong with America trying to stop that from happening?
Absolutely nothing. But this has nothing to do with stopping it from happening. This has to do with making us less willing to speak out, so that when we see an act of vandalism against an unpopular group, we don't raise our hand and protest. We hide in our room and say, I'm not a Muslim, right? I'm not a communist. I'm not gay. I'm not until there's nobody left to defend us, the famous saying of what happened in Germany. That's what this is about, right? From 9/11 through all of these crimes, we don't treat them as crimes, and we don't treat them as acts of war. We now treat them as acts of the war on terror, and this vague category in which laws no longer apply, and what we must do is be on the side of our leader, our president, who's no longer the executor of the will of Congress, but a dictator. We are moving in the direction of a dictatorship. That's what this is all about.
And that was part of why we also wanted to, we contacted the RAND Corporation, Heritage Foundation, Jane Harman's, a number of congressional offices that voted for this, trying to get that view, but yet not one wanted to come onto the show. We started last week trying to contact them.
Well, it's not a very defensible position, and so I'm not surprised that they don't want to go out in public and debate it.
The Military Commissions Act, that just passed last year, very overwhelmingly, very supported. Doesn't seem that either party is willing to oppose anything that balances civil liberties over security.
Absolutely
not. But does it?
But we did have some challenges to portions of that in the courts, and there is that hope with this bill as well, because it's blatantly unconstitutional in violation of the First Amendment. There is the possibility of court challenges. There is the possibility of throwing these people out who give us these bills through elections or through impeachment. But this is, we don't have a strong opposition party. And so there is this consensus that it is un-American, it is unpatriotic, it is unright, unjust to challenge anything that's called an attack on terrorism. And so This is self-censorship. This is control of thought. And so the only bills, again, that can be passed and signed into law are outrageously awful, horrible bills. And still, the president adjusts them further with signing statements. This is a dictatorship now.
Does this help to protect America in any way, shape, or form?
Not in any way, shape, or form that I can discern, not the America that I
believe
in at all.
Part of it has to deal with also targeting gangs, studying gangs, studying many different aspects that I don't recall before we would never, perfect example, what happened with Hillary Clinton, her office overtaken by a man that was mentally ill because he didn't have access to health insurance, wanted to highlight his case. And within hours, it was considered this is an act of terrorism. He had flares strapped to himself.
Right.
This was an act of, so is he a terrorist? Is he promoting terrorist ideals?
Oh, of course he's not a terrorist, but, and that's
where does that get defined?
It gets defined in the media these days, in the mainstream media, and it becomes a vicious cycle that this constant drumbeat of the terrorists are going to get us, and you go on the metro in Washington and they warn you to look out for any unattended bags as if we're in imminent danger of being attacked by bombers on our subways.
Or the terrorist tip line, which is throughout Maryland, West Virginia, many other places. Where you're driving down the highway, and here's an 800 number that you can call 24 hours, protect yourself, report if you see anything suspicious.
Right.
Driving through West Virginia is not a place I would suspect to find something suspicious for a terrorist act.
Well, maybe you ought to be thinking that way, Tina. It's and people are unwittingly helping to echo the drumbeat of the concern for terrorism. But I think to a large extent, it's really not working, as you saw in the interviews with people in the street. There hasn't been an attack. There was that one big, huge attack that was just an isolated bunch of people from Saudi Arabia, not from Iraq, not from Afghanistan. And I think American people are starting to get a little bit more attuned to the fact that terrorism is not the problem that it keeps being touted, and especially homegrown terrorism or violent radicalization or radical violence,
Should the gangs be redefined as terrorists? We have redefined over some of the other acts that went through. Animal rights activists have been redefined as terrorists now. What used to be a 3 or 6 month sentence is now a 3-year, 10-year sentence.
Yeah.
So should we not include gangs? Should we not include any of these?
We certainly shouldn't include gangs, but I can see the trend going. I think as I said earlier, that this bill is written so vaguely.
You said that the media defines what is a homegrown terrorist.
And this bill
vague. Will this help us decide who's a homegrown terrorist?
This bill is so vaguely worded that whoever sits on that commission, that the media, that really it's like a Rorschach test. It can be whatever you want it to be. If you think the gangs are the terrorists, then that's what this commission can go after, is gangs. In the bill, they do talk about concern for, or in the supporting documents, they talk about concern for the atmosphere in prisons,
and maybe
people going to prison and becoming recruits not just for gangs but for terrorist cells.
And when you say, can you go through just one more, the commission and how that's set
up? Sure. The commission is 10 people. It's appointed, these members of the commission are appointed by, the president gets to appoint one, the secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, which is Chertoff, gets to appoint one. The two leaders, the Democrat and the Republican leader of the Senate, the Democrat and Republican leader of the House, and then the Democrat and Republican leaders of
the majority is Republicans.
Well, it's interesting that Jane Harman, a Democrat, is rushing this bill through to get it passed while Bush is still president, so that basically the Republicans have a majority of 2 on this committee.
And Lieberman is the one in the Senate that's going to be
Lieberman
in charge
would
of
be
the Senate
the
bill.
Democrat.
He caucuses with the Democrats, but he is an independent.
Indeed.
Specifically because of some of his actions towards national security.
Right.
Got him kicked out of the Democratic Party. Right. But yet the Democrats are supporting this, are they not?
Almost all of them. Again, with very few.
What does the Senate look
with
like?
Three Democrats and three Republicans voted no in the House. And the Senate.
So bipartisan dissent.
Bipartisan to a small extent, and the Senate is always worse. But here, I mean, the question here is somebody goes and sits in a tree to protect a forest from bulldozers. Whom are they terrorizing, right? But you hold a big public commission about how there are enviro-terrorists sweeping the nation. Now people are being terrorized. Right. So as we've defined a section of the Iranian army as a terrorist group, right, a state organization can do terrorism now, apparently. This commission can do terrorism, can blow these incidents up into crimes and terrorize people.
What amazes me is I'm looking at Dana Rohrabacher to Denis Kucinich as the two of the six that dissented from this, which seemed completely as far apart as possible on every other spectrum.
You know, Denis Kucinich, I can't explain Rohrabacher. I don't know the man. I don't know how he thinks. I'm a friend of Denis Kucinich's. I know what he's thinking here. And he is the sponsor of a bill that's in both houses of Congress with significant support that would actually create a useful study of this sort. It's called the Department of Peace bill that would analyze and study in depth our culture of violence, our films of violence, our use of war, our use of the death penalty, our use of crowd control and tasers that is so mushrooming at the moment, our domestic violence, and would try to figure out a way to move our culture away from violence, not demonizing political beliefs, but countering the use of violence or religious beliefs or ethnicities or races, but
if people want to stop this, what do they do? We've only got a few minutes left. What would you tell somebody to do to stop this?
Call your two senators, visit your two senators' local offices, hold signs in front of their offices, sit in their offices and read the United States Constitution.
But wouldn't they be almost by definition by force violating what is
Well, they haven't passed the bill yet. They haven't passed the bill yet. So now's the time to sit in your senator's office, read the Constitution at the top of your lungs and not leave until they drag you out, because it may be too late to even do that very soon.
And Sue.
Exactly.
Just a few seconds left. What would you tell somebody to stop this?
Well, I would absolutely echo what David is saying. You need to let your senators know that you oppose this bill, and you need to make a special phone call to Senator Lieberman, who heads up the committee in the Senate. But you don't stop there. You've got to make sure that your neighbors are aware of this bill and let your neighbors know, write letters to the editor. The Senate has a habit of ignoring constituents, but if it's put out in the media and if you talk to your neighbors and friends about it, then that multiplies the impact that you can have.
Is there any group or organizations that's taking the lead on this?
There are many, the civil liberties groups and the peace groups and the coalitions like United for Peace and Justice and organizations like Sue's. But it's individual activists on the internet and on certain radio stations and television shows like this one that are spreading the word. It's one of these stories that's so important to so many people, and it's not there in the major U.S. media outlets.
And I would like to thank you both for being on our show.
Thank you, Tina.
Thanks, Tina.
Thank you for joining us here on American Dream. We will be seeing you soon.